Okay, now we have these various conditions of existence, four various conditions of existence. These four conditions of existence which we are studying are actually variations of existence itself. They are certain attitudes about existence, and they are the basic attitudes about existence. Now, we could make many more attitudes, and we would find that we were all deriving them from these four. But we could make these four and find out that we were all deriving them from one, isness, or reality. There has to be an isness before you can do an alter isness. There has to be an isness before you can do a not isness. Isn't that right? Okay, there has to be an isness before you can do a not-isness. Unless, of course, you want to postulate it in reverse, but we are talking now about this particular universe and how it got here. And we discover, as we look along the track, that these four conditions of existence presuppose the existence of a postulate known as time. In other words, all existence presupposes the postulate time. Now, time is just a plain, ordinary postulate, which says out of a non-consecutive beingness, which doesn't exist forever. There's no forever. See, it would just be there. See, no forever involved, no instant involved. It just hasn't any consecutive existence at all. And out of this, we would have to make a postulate there would now be a consecutive existence. Consecutive existences, or they'd have to be a consecutive series of states. And out of this consecutive series of states, we would get then a parade of time, a time continuum. Now, an individual who's simply occupying space without any energy involved whatsoever has the same feeling, but a bad one. He doesn't have a good feeling about it. Without any space, he can have a good feeling about it. No space, no energy, no continuum. He can have a fairly good feeling about this. But when he gets into the matter of a space, now he has this feeling of foreverness unmarked. He makes that uncomfortable for himself, so he will now go on creating consecutive states of existence and have a game. Space is necessary to start this game, but when you've just got space and you've got nothing else, it's rather unbearable. Do you see that? You're already occupying, so there is an existence there, but it isn't an existence which has any consecutive difference of state. And that's real poor. You get this feeling every once in a while in space opera, if you're ever fooling around with that. All right. Now, here we have then existence in one state being conditional upon a time postulate, which would include a space energy manifestation. We have to have space, we have to have energy, and now we don't necessarily have a consecutive existence, you see. But this would be a simultaneousness. There would be no question about whether you made the postulate for space and energy before you made the postulate of time, or the postulate of time after you made the space-energy manifestation. No question of any postulate before or after, because you have not postulated the postulate which causes a before or after. And that postulate would be time. So, actually, to have a game, it's a simultaneous action whereby you postulate space, energy, time. Space, energy, continuous existence. Which is, and as isness, space, altered. Energy, as isness, altered. Time, as isness altered. So your three items there have to have the time postulate with alter isness in them in order to get a persistence. That's how it's done in this universe. You don't just have to do this all the time, but that when those three consecutive postulates are made simultaneously, why, we then have a continuum of existence demarked by differences of position of the particle in the space. And we have time being marked out for us very neatly. We have to alter position in order to get a continuousness. We have to say, it is here, now it's here, now it's here, now it's here. Now there's another way of making time come true. We say space, no space, space, no space, space, no space, space, no space, space, no space. You're postulating, however, that you can do this before you can say space, no space, space, no space. Well, now, this postulate is so easy for a Thetan to make. It might be considered a native part of his mock-up. So here we have, however, before this, an ideal state, that is to say, an idealized or just a theoretical state. We have this theoretical state whereby we merely have a static which has no space, no mass, no wavelength, no motion, no time, which has the ability to consider. And we are dealing with the basic stuff of life, just by definition. Now, it is very peculiar that we, mixed up in all of this energy and so forth, and way on down the track from the time this postulate was made. You see anything specious in the way my remarks hang together? Way on down the track from the time this postulate was made, very difficult and very strange that we could even discuss this higher state of existence, which was made trillions of years ago. No. You see, it must have been concurrent with this right here. And so we never say, we don't use the word existence, we use the word is. We don't use the word then or will be. See, we don't go back into the past or go into the future for this continuousness at all. It just is. Now, in past ages, it was only necessary to say, well, reality is reality, and you just have to accept it, you know, it's just reality. Nothing more you could know about it than that. Oh, yes, there's a lot more you could know about reality than simply it is. So, is not a complete and embracing definition of reality. It's not complete and embracing because reality has a certain mechanical structure. And that structure is composed of these four states of existence. And it would actually take all these four states of existence to make the kind of an existence which we are now living. And that is to say, we would have to have isness, then not isness, and alter isness. And did it strike you before that we might have forgotten and might never have known about, and it might not have been called our attention directly, this other state? We've always had these three states: alter isness, not isness, and of course isness. Alter isness and not isness, of course, are variations of isness and depend upon isness. But there was a fourth one, and that's as isness, and that is a perfect duplicate. As isness. And that condition natively exists at an instant of creation. It exists at this instant of creation. And it also can be made to exist again anytime anybody wants to make it exist again, simply by saying, as is. If anybody had truly and actually sat down and accepted reality and had got all of his fellow beings to simply accept reality, we wouldn't have any.
That's all. So I think it must have been a rather half-hearted thing, or acceptance of reality in the past must have been defined as, let's see now, I think everybody should be unhappy, miserable, three-quarters dead, enslaved, under very thorough control. Now that is reality, and I want you to accept it. That's what the psychiatrist does, you know. You just have to accept the fact that you're a homosexual. The fellow's made it plain many times that he wasn't homosexual, he's a heterosexual. Well, you're really a paleontological aphrodisiac. That is exactly the psychiatric classification that we got out of a Latin book, and you'll just have to accept this reality, or we won't have any more to do with you in the pension, we'll kick you in the hell out of here. You know, good, solid treatment. I'm afraid this was the way reality was being classified all along the track. I'm going to dream something up. I'm going to hold a gun on you. And the trouble with you is you won't face reality.
But whose reality? Whose reality in each case? Somebody else's. So this reality was actually another condition. Other determined as isness. Other determined, which is not isness. The way you get not isness is to say, as is created by you. Oh, that's an awful one. That's a big curve. And that is not isness. It's an as isness created by somebody else, which, of course, isn't an as isness at all. It's very specious as isness. And naturally, the world would sort of look unreal to everybody if Joe Blow and Dr. Stinkwater and the heavily laden order, the heavily laden order of pyramids, all said, this is reality and this is as it is, and you'd better accept it. We've got a not isness, isn't it? So if everything starts to sort of dim down on you, and you find things going out, you know, and getting sort of resistibly thin. Do you know the idea? What I mean? Resistibly thin. They're all sort of transparent, but they're there, or they're all hung with black sheets. You must assume at that time that you have faced up to too many as-isnesses which somebody else created. In other words, somebody else says, this is the way things are, and you said it. You get that operation in conversation. And yesterday you said to me, just when I got up, you said to me, you never work. You are a dirty loafer. You remember that, don't you? I think every familial unit of Thetans, when they get all together and so on, should always have not a Bible, but so and so's rules of evidence. Lying right there to be resorted to at any time. And there ought to be a court in every neighborhood to which you could repair and decide whether or not this was an as-isness or a not-isness. Now, what is a not-isness? A not-isness comes about from that exact manifestation or simply by the separate postulate. Well, it is, and I regret it, it isn't. You know, you could have made it and then said it wasn't. Now, the funny part of it is that if you made it, and you know you made it, you can always say it doesn't exist now. By saying what? By saying I made it. It has isness, see? You accept the responsibility for having created it, and you get a not-isness. So there are really two conditions of not-isness. There's just vanishment. But what we mean, or the other one, is what we mean, which is an isness which somebody is trying to postulate out of existence by simply saying it isn't. A not-isness, in our terminology, would be this specialized case. of an individual trying to banish something without taking responsibility for creating it. Definite, positive, and precise definition. Trying to banish something without taking the responsibility for creating it. And the only result of doing this is to make it all unreal, to make it forgotten, to make it back of the black screen, to make it transparent, to make it dulled down, to give it over to a machine, to wear glasses. Anything that you could possibly do to get a dim down of an isness. And that is done by saying just this. It's just this precise operation, no other operation. I didn't make it, it isn't. See? I didn't do it, so it doesn't exist. And that will always bring about this other condition of not isness. See, I didn't create it. I have nothing to do with it. I have no responsibility for this at all, so it doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned. Now, built into the woof and warp of the track, the very composite on which an individual is running. He doesn't have to run on these postulates at all, you see, but he is running on this makeup of postulates. He, of course, then will trigger into all the rest of his postulates, and they'll cross-reference into sticking him right there with it. He's got it. Now, the only way you can get rid of it now is just to dim it down, dim it down. Now, the funny part of it is that an individual can run a gradient scale of change on something if the gradient scale is back toward his acceptance responsibility for having created it. It would not be far enough to go in Dianetics simply to find out that your mother did it. That was what your mother said. That wouldn't be far enough to go. You'd have to go back this far. Mother said it. You know, you'd have to postulate that the time was now. Mother said it. And that keyed in the fact that here on the track, whether 1 million, 2 billion, 8 billion, 16 trillion years ago, I said it. Every time somebody else can put one of your machines or one of your engrams into restimulation, it is only because he can work on something which was natively created by yourself. All things carry the germ of their own destruction. And you have postulated the germ of your own destruction. And then later on, people come along and because you're in communication with them and so forth, they can give you a key in. So any engram, as we were operating with it in Dianetics, was a key in. When I discovered that the whole track ran back, 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 back. No, no, no. Back, back, back. No, my golly. Back, back. Where the heck are we now? Oh. Oh. We're back to where the guy did it in the first place. Boy, that's very interesting. And the result of that was the essay on responsibility in APNA, Advanced Procedure and Axioms, the essay on full responsibility. Well, a fellow did. He created the condition from which he is now suffering, and he didn't even create it in other ways than he is now suffering it. But it has been keyed in, and he has consented even to it being keyed in. Nothing really is sneaking up on anybody. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? People haven't even made it worse. But we're having a good game. If that game is a game called psychosomatic illness, bereft lover, neglected baby, it's still a game. And as such, the individual is still playing all roles. Now, what happens is that an individual goes along the line. He starts identifying himself with the source point and receipt point of the communication line. As a little child, he's the one who identifies himself as the one who was talked to. Very seldom do you ever discover a little child giving mother a good lecture. You seldom discover this, but if you do remember it, you probably remember it with great satisfaction of the good lecture you gave your mother. Here is a condition. The individual has identified himself with a continuous effect point or a continuous cause point. And having said, I am now on this point, he now makes his considerations below the level of that point. See, he's considered he's on the point. Now, all further considerations are monitored by this consideration that he's on the point, as long as he's on the point. Now, he'd have to recognize that he was on the point, and as isness, before he'd come off the point. You see that? Process immediately occurs on such a level. If you just simply ask an individual straight wire this question over and over and over and over and over, where could you be where you would be willing to recognize and realize that you were? Where could you be that you would be willing to recognize that you were? And you just run the gradient scale all the way back up the line to the point where the individual recognizes finally, you know, I'm sitting right here. There wouldn't be any mysticism involved in this. All right. Now, these conditions of existence could be composited up. They are interdependent one upon another, you see. And isness exists only because of as-isness. As-isness took place in the first place. It got created. Then we had to alter it slightly to get an isness. We had to give up some responsibility for it, and we had to shift it around. A not-isness then exists in order to provide a game. A game is an isness which is being handled by a couple of not-isnesses, or an isness being handled by a not-isness. Any way you want to look at it, a football game can be added up in terms of existence. See, here we have one side, and it's got the ball, and so the other side must not is the side that's got the ball. And the side that's got the ball has to win, in other words, to arrive at a receipt point someplace along the line. We get the communication formula itself as being lower than the conditions of existence, and we get affinity, reality, and communication as simply being the methods by which existence is conducted. It is not the interplay of existences. So we're dealing with a higher echelon than ARC right now. All right. Affinity really is merely the consideration of how well it's going. agreement or reality itself, we're talking about isness. And there is where we enter the corner of the triangle. And we just slide into that triangle on that isness point. And then it is modified by A and C. They, of course, come in simultaneously with it. All right.
Now, but those are just the way we play the game, such as some people use drop kicks and some people use punts. It doesn't matter much. We could also add other ways to play this game, but that happens to be the way the game is being played. All right.
And we discover then that all of these conditions of existence then would add up to all kinds of manifestations of behavior. They would add up to all kinds of manifestations of behavior. Oh, there'd just be lots of them. There'd be a finite number, however. It would be the number of possible combinations, singly, doubly, trebly, or quadruply, of these four conditions of existence.
And if you want a little exercise sometime in geometry, you ought to do that. How many combinations can we get out of any set of four? Well, we can basically get any one of the four, can't we? But we found these four were somewhat interrelated, so it'd be hard to get just one of the four, but we could recognize one of the four as being its own state. We could isolate it. So there could be any one of these four. Now, there could be any two of these four in combination with the other two, and then any three of these four in combination with the other three, and then any four of these four, all acting and all in combination, and then all of these things in various degrees of action.
We get this individually, only 75% of his life he's trying to say not is to. Another 10% of his life he's giving an alter is. 1/100th of 1% he's giving an as is, or trying to give an as is to. And the remainder is reality. acceptable reality. And that would be just one makeup of a personality. Now, if you see how many ways these could be, if we said that there was a gradient scale of isness, a gradient scale of alter-isness, a gradient scale of as-isness, which there isn't, a gradient scale of not-isness, we would see then that you could take these gradient scales and at one grade or another have a character composited from them. You see? And then we would have a characterization. What is the basic character of anybody? But the basic character of anybody must be made up in some degree from, must be made up from, in conditions of existence, some space, some energy, and his considerations of isness, not isness, and all isness. It's not necessarily true that any part of his considerations are made up of as-isness. Because if they were, they wouldn't be there. In other words, he also has been trained to believe that loss is bad. This is just a reverse postulate, just keep life interesting. Loss is bad, so therefore he has a tendency to avoid as-isness. So therefore he'll avoid duplication, he'll avoid all kinds of things. He's afraid he'll unmuck. There he is, stuck in, 18 feet thick, you couldn't get him out with a pneumatic drill. All scheduled to go back to the between lives area and pick up another baby, and he's afraid he'll unmuck. Silly, isn't it? But it doesn't matter too much. Any life or continuance to him has begun to be better than no life at all. You say, well, then why are you processing somebody? Well, let me tell you something about that. ARC Straight Wire is listed in the first issue of the Auditor's Handbook as the third step of intensive procedure. In order to accomplish all three goals of getting into a two-way communication, so forth, just after the basic and most rudimentary chitter-chat, I would start asking somebody why he was being processed. And you know, I'm just wicked enough to go on and start asking a person why he's being processed for hours until he can at least find one reason why he's being processed. I would merely substitute then, why are you being processed? Or toward what goal are you being processed would be a much politer way to say it, and maybe a better communication. Toward what goal are you being processed as step three instead of ARC Straight Wire? It's a very interesting process. Most freakers come in, they say, process me. Why? You would say immediately, and you have always supposed that they must have a good idea why they want to be processed. They don't have. They don't have any idea at all why they want to be processed. Because they want to be an exterior Phaeton? Because, no, they might not even know about this. They just know there's something wrong with them. Well, there's the most horrible technique you could run on anybody in terms of producing results, tearing off their heads and everything else, would be what wrongness or what wrong thing would you find other people would accept from you? What could you do that was wrong that other people would accept? Now, what wrongness could you accept from other people? Back and forth and back and forth. Here goes the guy's manners, his social pattern, his behavior pattern, and everything else will just go by the boards running that process. But he won't be able to tell you, first and foremost, why he's being processed. He won't be able to tell you that he wants to feel freer and so forth. He won't articulate any of these things. He'll just sit there and want to be processed. What toward? Until you've gotten him to put a little time on the track, he will use forever in processing because he's sitting in forever. He isn't moving on the time continuum. He's off the time continuum. Well, if you can't get him processing towards some goal or other, or in some direction. He just makes processing, of course, the end-all of everything. And he'll just go on being processed forever. But, of course, if he's going to be processed forever, he'll have to hold on to his aberrations forever. Otherwise, he couldn't be processed forever, could he? It's actually as elementary as that why cases stay a long time in processing. So I've been sorely tempted to alter that step 3 to just this. Well, now, give me some goals you have in processing. And just keep it up. Okay.